Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and our study is in the book of Hebrews. And today we will be studying from chapter 7, and we will also go back and review chapter 5 to compare with 7. And we will start in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity each time that we come before you and study your word. And we know, Father, that we can't learn unless we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And we pray as believers that you will use your Holy Spirit, that he will guide us, lead us, and teach us your word and give us wisdom and understanding that we may go out into the world and be a light and to be a witness for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we want to look back and see what Hebrews is about. We want to see who wrote Hebrews and why that it was written and who it was about. So we learned in the first part that we studied in chapter 1 through 4 that it's a word of exhortation to Jewish believers, and some had and were turning away from believing in Jesus in returning to the things of the law, and he taught them that they need to hold fast to the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and that shows true salvation. It's our continuance in faith that shows that we are a true believer. And so we learned holding fast to the confession that Jesus is Christ and Messiah. And therefore, we also learned in our study earlier that Jesus is better than angels, and he is better than Moses, and his priesthood is better than that in the Old Testament. So, actually, today, what we were going to be studying about is three different types of priesthood. We'll be studying about the Aaronic priesthood from the Old Testament, and the priesthood of Melchizedek, and then the priesthood of Jesus. So, only those priests that are chosen and appointed by God serve as priests. And in studying the Old Testament, we learned that the Levites, the tribe of Levi, served in the tabernacle, and only those of Aaron's family were priests. And God specified a ceremony to ordain, anoint, and consecrate the priest. King Uzziah, even though he had done good up until the time of 2 Chronicles, was struck with leprosy when he entered the temple and tried to offer incense before the Lord. He wasn't a priest, and only priests could do that. And then the priesthood is a very serious matter before God. And God specified special clothes for the priest and the high priest to wear. They were distinct from other people, and part of the clothing carried the names of Israel's tribes over the priest's heart and put them before the Lord as well. So let's begin our study today by reading. I want us to read some in Hebrews 5. And we're going to read the first 10 verses so that we can get a picture about the high priest and about Christ as a high priest. Starting with verse 1, chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud cryings and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now then, let's go to chapter 7. I want to go to chapter 7. That's in our study today. And I want to read through the book, through the chapter. And it's a long chapter, but it's necessary for us to compare the three different priests that I mentioned earlier, the Aaronic priest and the Melchizedek and Jesus. So starting with verse 1 of Hebrews 7, and just open your Bibles as we read through this chapter. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham appointed a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Now, observe how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the choicest spoils, and those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brethren, although these are descendants from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Verse 8, in this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron, for which the priesthood is changed? Of necessity, there takes place a change of law also, for the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. Verse 15, and this is clearer still. If another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life, for it is attested of him, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect, and on the other hand there is a bringing in of better hope through which we draw near to God, and inasmuch as it was not without an oath, for they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath through the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. Verse 22, so much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The former priest on the one hand existed in great numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing, but Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he also lives to make intercession for them. Verse 26, for it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. Now then, we want to look at these three types of priesthood, and we will begin with the Aaronic priesthood. God, in his law, the laws that were written, appointed the priest on behalf of men. The first priests were appointed by God as on the behalf of men, as men. And since they were men, they could deal gently with the ignorant and misguided people. They also had weaknesses of the flesh, and they being men, they understood men and the temptation of sin. Then, looking further, the second thing that we see that about these Aaronic priests is before they offered sacrifices for the people's sin, they had to first offer sacrifices for their own sins. They too were not sinless. And before they could offer the sacrifice for other sins, they had to offer sacrifice for their sins. And then the third thing we see is they collected a tithe from the people, and they collected that so they had enough to eat and to buy whatever they needed. This is how that they were sustained, was through the tithes that were given by the people. And then the fourth thing that we see about the Aaronic priesthood, because they all would die, there had to be more than one of them. A priest, he became a priest, was appointed a priest, and then the law said at a certain age, if they had not died, they had to give up their priesthood. And I believe in the book where the laws were made, it said when they were like 55 years old, if they were still living, they had to pass that priesthood on. And then, of course, when they died, that priesthood had to be fulfilled by another assigned from the priesthood of Aaron. Now then, let's look at Melchizedek and see what we can learn about his priesthood. We know that he was during the time of Abraham, which was before God gave the law of Moses, and it was before the time of Aaron and Moses and his brother. So, what then do we learn in chapter 7 that the scripture says about Melchizedek? First of all, he was priest of the Most High. And second, he blessed Abraham, so he was greater than Abraham. And Abraham gave him a tenth tithe of the spoil of his victory in battle. And in a sense then, Levi, a descendant of Abraham, paid tithes to him, to Melchizedek. So he was greater than Levi. And the translation of the name Melchizedek means the King of Righteousness. And he, the scripture says, was King of Salem, and that word means peace. Now, what else did it say about Melchizedek? He was without father, without mother, without genealogy. He was without beginning of days or end of life. And it also said he was made like the Son of God. Melchizedek remains a priest perpetually. That means he remained a priest forever. He wouldn't die. He was out without beginning and without end of life. So therefore, he remained a priest forever. He didn't become a priest on the base of law or genealogy, but he became a priest according to an indestructible life. He was without beginning and without end. Therefore, Jesus is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, what was the author of Hebrews trying to show us through Melchizedek? He was trying to show us that Jesus is a high priest, not according to the law, but appointed by God like Melchizedek. That's why that it's written in the book about Melchizedek, is to show us that Jesus himself is not according to the law, but he is appointed by God like Melchizedek. And what we have seen already tells us a lot that we're going to see as we study the priesthood of Jesus, Jesus' priesthood. And we're going to be reading some scripture that will make things clear for us through Isaiah and through Hebrews. But first of all, how was Jesus like Melchizedek? First, we learn that he is a priest forever, and that he is king of righteousness and a king of peace. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, and I want to read verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 9. And this is going to compare with Hebrews 1 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There it tells us that he is a prince of peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now then, let's go to Hebrews and read chapter 1, verse 8. And I have to do that quickly. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. See, in this verse, he says that his throne, Jesus' throne, is forever and forever, and it's a scepter of righteousness. And then let's look at chapter 7, verse 1 through 3, that we have We've just looked at that chapter, but I want to read this again. Chapter 7, 1 through 3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. God said of his son that he would give him a throne and the righteous scepter forever over his kingdom. He'll be the king of righteousness and rule in righteousness. The government will rest on his shoulders because he is the Prince of Peace, and he will sit on David's throne over Israel and establish justice and righteousness forever. So, how then do we compare Jesus with Melchizedek? First, no earthly father, not of Levi or Aaron's descendant, but he was a descendant from Judah. He was appointed to be a priest by God himself, and he lived an indestructible life without beginning, without end. Okay, now then, let's look at the contrast of the Levitical priesthood and Jesus' priesthood in Hebrews chapter 7, 11 through 28. So I want to read again chapter 7 and read verses 11 through 28. Now, and this is a lot of reading, I know, but it's going to get us in the knowledge that we need to have in comparing priesthood and why and how that Jesus is our great high priest as believers. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? He's saying, why was it necessary if perfection was through Levitical priesthood? Verse 12, for when the priesthood is changed of necessity, there takes place a change of law also. For the one according whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. The Lord Jesus was not from the Levitical tribe, but he was from the tribe of Judah. And this is clearer still. If another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life, for it is attested of him, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God, and inasmuch as it was not without an oath, for they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath through the one who said to him, "The Lord God has sworn and will not change his mind, you, Jesus, are a priest forever." So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he also lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. So then, as we go on and look at these verses, we are seeing how that he compares with Melchizedek. And we know that perfection was not the result of Levitical priesthood. And since it could not be, since it could not produce perfection, then there was no need for it to continue. The Levitical priesthood, it could not bring perfection. So the priesthood changed, and then the law also had to change. And that's the former commandment that was referred to in verse 18 that I just read. Because of its weakness and uselessness, it was set aside for a better one. And believers, that is including us today, draw near to God through the better covenant, through the better priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our merciful and faithful priest who can sympathize with our weakness. He's the perfect priest, so there only had to be one like him. And he continues forever, and he saves forever those who draw near through him. Jesus is our guarantee. He is holy. He is innocent. He is undefiled. He is separate from sinners. He is exalted above the heavens. And he offered himself once and for all. Now, our next study is going to be in chapter 8. And we're going to learn more about Jesus, our great high priest. And in this chapter, we're going to see that Jesus is seated in heaven at God's right hand. And that chapter is going to be about the heavenly tabernacle and the better covenant that Jesus brought. And this new covenant made the old one, the law, absolute. Just as Jesus was the perfect priest, so that the Levitical priesthood was obsolete. I'm saying it wrong. Obsolete. So we will close our study today through prayer, and just pray that God will lead each of us to a full understanding of what we have in Jesus, our great high priest. Heavenly Father, do teach us that we may clearly understand what we have in Jesus, our great high priest, what he represents to us, Father. It can't be written down in words. It can't be expressed by mouth in words. But, Father, we know that you have had it written. You wrote it yourself with your finger, and you gave an inspiration to those that you had to write it down. So through your word, we can learn about Jesus, our great high priest, and what he has done that makes him our great high priest, and how precious it is that we have him as our great high priest. Because, Father, whenever he comes before you, he doesn't have to make intercession for himself, because we know that he is perfect and has always been perfect. And we're so thankful, Father, that even though we are not perfect, that our great high priest can present us before you, Lord, because he has covered our sins and made us righteous by his precious blood. And we thank you and praise you. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.